He's a manly man.
A manly
I know,
man.
Right? Oh, I know, right?
Here he is. Already.
He can't even wait. I know, right?
He can't even wait to be introduced.
I know,
wait
right?
Till we say his name.
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women. This season, hosts Allie and Latasha, along with special guests, are on the lookout for the good life, a life that sometimes seems elusive, one of beauty, joy, creativity, and fun.
We have a hunch it might involve learning to think about life as a work of art and finding our place, not as the artist, but as the canvas. It's getting real. IKR, real conversations with real women. Let's go.
Hey ladies, as you know, this season on IKR, we're exploring what it might look like to approach our lives as a beautiful piece of artwork that God is trying to create. Today is all about how we stumble over our own insecurities and end up trying to control what God is doing in our lives. And I don't know about you guys, but I have stumbled through my own insecurities. Today, we have a guest who's actually not a woman. This is our first male guest on IKR. His name is Brian Tome, and Brian is the senior pastor of the church that Allie and I attend and also work at, called Crossroads. Crossroads started with 11 people. We now have 50,000 people who call Crossroads home in 22 sites. BT, as he's known around here, is known for his frank honesty and simple approach, and I will tell you practical office jokes. This is The Art of Security.
So welcome, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. I'm honored. I thought I might be the first person with a penis on your on your podcast.
There it is.
Quickly.
So, didn't know when it would happen, but yeah.
You should have took a bet.
That is not a bad word.
It's not.
I know.
Bad.
No,
it's
not.
It's
the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's a physiological difference that we have.
Correct.
So I'm thankful to be here. Honored that you would trust me.
So Brian is not only the senior pastor, but he's also a father who's raised two pretty awesome daughters.
I think so.
Mariah, who's 20 now.
Yes.
20, and Lena, who's 27, and just had her first baby. So you're a grandpa. How do you feel about
it? I am a grandfather right now.
What are you going to be called?
Amazing.
Grandfather.
Amazing.
That's what my dad is. He is the grandfather.
He's grandfather.
Who are you?
I think that, well, we've been back and forth on it. I think where we're going to land, which it really doesn't matter until the kid actually starts talking,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I think the leading bet is GT for Grandpa Tome. So people call me
GT.
BT, so they're going to call me GT.
That's super cute.
I really
That's
like that.
Cute.
Now, who came up with that?
Somebody here at the office, I think, came up with it, and Lena found out about it, and so
GT,
yeah.
But I hear it is fun, grandparenting.
It's great. It really is fantastic. You get all the cuddling of having a little kid, and all the joy of knowing there's a life form that came out of you. Of course, grandson didn't cause us directly, but indirectly.
That's right.
And you have none of the hardcore responsibility. You know, kid starts to cry or vomit all over the place. Oh, go back to mom. There you go. Handle it.
So today we're talking about insecurity.
Crap.
I know.
I mean, yay.
We know.
This is good.
I know.
I'm okay.
We're practicing vulnerability today.
Absolutely.
Right? We're talking about a topic today that's very real in the life of pretty much everybody I know, man or woman. So Brian is perfectly qualified to be our guest. We have these things that rattle around in us called insecurities, and sometimes they dictate part of our lives that we don't really want them to. Sometimes we might not even know they are. So I thought we'd sort of level the playing field by, can we just all, let's come out with it. Latasha?
Man, how could you
you're
start
first.
With me?
Okay, you know what? Are first.
Can I just say, besides the obvious, because
we're going to confess a few of our insecurities.
Yeah.
Why? What's the obvious?
Well, what's the obvious?
I mean, I'm sitting here with my boss's boss. I mean, I like Brian, but he's my boss's boss's boss.
Is that insecurity because you want to be seen a certain way, or you want to be perceived as doing a good job at your job?
What's
or is it just authority figures? What are
they? No, I would say that I try really hard to fly under the radar, and so having the boss's boss in my space right now is not a way for me to fly under the radar. I love and like Brian, so I'm not like scared, but I'm like, man, this is my boss.
You're saying when that insecurity comes up, you have to purposely do something to make sure that doesn't take
over.
And
would that insecurity be there with previous places you've worked when higher brass would come around?
If my boss's boss was in the room, I would just be more. So maybe I'm more aware of what's happening today than anything else.
And that's a great example, because we're talking about, we don't want insecurities to run our life.
That's right.
But I do think it's possible to be aware of them and to continue to grow out of them over time. Is that fair?
I think so.
I actually had one come up this summer because I fractured my heel and I ended up in a boot. Mm-hmm. What I didn't really realize is that I try to control my insecurity about my body with exercise. Mm. And so when I fractured my heel and ended up in the boot and I couldn't run, I still can't do any impact on it. I can't jump. I can't run still. I really realized, oh, I'm covering up that insecurity by just controlling it. Mm. I'm controlling it with exercise. Yep. And I think that's a common pattern in a lot of women's lives for sure. Brian can tell us about men and their insecurities.
So security and control.
Yeah. When I feel insecure, I might have a greater tendency to move into control because I want to cover it up.
Yep.
So what about you?
I think our issues, even before I tell you, some of my issues, I'm coming to the conclusion that there's fewer and fewer things that we think we're going to grow out of that we actually grow out of. We just manage them. They don't go away. When we come to know Christ, God doesn't look at us like as a sinner. He looks at us as a saint. He doesn't look at us like a sinner. And yet our sinful nature is there. It's like we're warped wood that we get bent. We can get bent to go straight, but we constantly have this proclivity to snap back to the previous warped position.
Yeah.
So anyway, for me, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. I was at a board meeting a couple nights ago, and we were talking in our board meeting about how a number of high-profile pastors and leaders have fell recently. We've been talking about our board meeting. What does this mean for us and all that stuff? And one of the questions someone asked me was, what is your weakness? Like, where would the enemy get you? Mm-hmm. And I really regret my answer. I'll tell you my answer, but I'll tell you what the real answer is. I regret my answer because I really hadn't thought about it. I hadn't really tried to put a finger on exactly what it was. I hadn't really thought about that. So I had about, 3 seconds to think about it, because if you wait 5 seconds, you look like you're a stupid person who doesn't think about yourself all that often.
Right.
You don't do introspection. You must not be spending time with God. I feel like the longer that time went on, the less healthy I would look. Right. Yeah. So I just went, oh, porn, absolutely. I could be a porn addict like that. And what I mean by that is I don't have a porn issue. I do not have a porn issue, but I do have an issue. Like, women are attractive to me. Women bodies are attractive to me. It's not an issue for me. It could be very, very there's absolutely a draw there. So I said that, and I wasn't lying when I said that, but that's not, like I said, it's not an issue in my life, and it's also not something that's governing my life. Mm-hmm. Like, people have problem porn, it's not governing my life. As I've thought about more, I thought probably what it really is comparison. I could be around somebody who leads a church larger than Crossroads, and I immediately feel like a loser. I immediately feel like, oh, gosh. Or I could be around a church that somebody who leads a church that's half the size of Crossroads, but their mission program is more robust, and I immediately feel like a loser. Mm-hmm. Or I can be around somebody who is not in ministry at all, but they started their own business and they happen to have like enough money for 2 homes. Mm-hmm. And I immediately go, gosh, I feel like maybe I should have done that and I could have blessed my family with 2 homes. Or I'll be around somebody who does a triathlon. I'm like, gosh, I'm such a loser. I just like go to the... Yeah. Or I'm around somebody who's really got a weight problem and I'll compare myself. Oh, yeah, see, I don't have a weight problem. Or I'll be around somebody who, I feel good or bad based on marks that somebody else has in their life that I'm able to observe.
If you were to say, what is the core insecurity? Is it that you're not enough, that you're not doing enough, that you're not good enough? Is it a worth thing? Is it a performance thing? Like, what's the thing underneath it?
Well, I haven't thought about it enough to actually have a really intelligent answer for you. I'll give you an answer right now, and then I might.
Otherwise, I might think you're not reflective.
Exactly.
And you don't spend time with God.
And I obviously don't know the scriptures because he has set us free. I can hear some of your listeners. My gosh, that guy doesn't understand freedom. I do, actually. I wrote a book on it. It's called Free Book. I get it. I really do. It's one thing to talk about concepts and in truth, it's another thing to be aware of the latest page in the life that God is forming in you. That's a whole other thing. So where does it come from? I think it comes from insecurity. I think it comes from, how do I know if I'm enough? How do I know if what I've done is enough? I went and I recorded with Andy Crouch, who's an author. I recorded a thing with him. Generally, when I go into other people's houses who lead big things. I always feel good about myself because I have a really great house, but it's not this in this gated community, this massive house, right? So I'm just, oh, yeah, see him. Well, I went into his house. This guy's, you know, great selling author and everything. I went into his house. I'm going, oh, my gosh, he lives so Spartan relative to me.
Oh, interesting. So it's like the other way.
Totally, totally. Yeah. He has... I'm looking at his furniture. It's like it's all older than mine.
He's more holy than you.
Yeah, I'm going, man. I've got to up my game. I'm going. I suck. Yeah. I suck.
How insidious.
Totally.
You never any joy.
I do, but that's how I feel. I'm saying that conversation in my mind is going all the time.
So do you stop yourself or do you just let it play out?
That's what I was going to ask.
I'm interested to know.
What do you find that you do?
Yeah. No, you have to let it play out.
Yeah. So you let it play out.
Of course. And then at some point it'll stop and then you can go, okay, what happened there? Let's reflect on this.
Yeah.
But if you don't let it play out, you're not living an internally vibrant life. You can't just stop it. You've got to let it play out. So that therefore stuff is on the table that you can then squeeze and get as much juice out as possible. You can't just like deny. Well, some things you can. I mean, if you're having lustful urges, that's fine. You can't let that play out. Just stop, you know. But then let it play out. Why am I having these lustful urges? Mm-hmm. Why is it more than I normally have? What is it about Andy Crouch's house that set me off? Do I do it with everybody's house? What am I insecure about what I'm doing here? Do I feel you got to let that, you let it play out
and
then take time.
I think it's what you said earlier is that we're always going to have these continuing insecurities, these continuing things that we deal with. And over time, I've tried to just not allow myself to make as big of a deal about them. Truly, our freedom that we have from God through Christ is we get to choose whether we indulge that or whether we don't indulge that. Like, I used to beat myself up about the fact that it was even there. Mm-hmm. I'm over that. Yeah. It's always going to be there. There's always going to be crap inside me that I can't control, but I can control my behavior, my choices. I can actually choose something that doesn't indulge those things and let them spiral out of control and govern my life. That's the word you used earlier. I thought that was great because sometimes our insecurities start to actually take over and like dictate who we'll be around. Like, you could just go, well, I'm not going to do any more interviews in people's homes because I can't handle it. Well, now you're being governed by your insecurity instead of being okay to just walk in it, manage it, talk to God about it, and understand this might always be a part of my life and it might not, but I'm not going to run from it.
Well, and this is a podcast that probably has a higher percentage of believers in Christ and probably has a higher percentage of people who want a biblical worldview than, say, some other podcast. Mm-hmm. So if you were on a podcast that wasn't operating on any spiritual plane at all, I'd want to talk more about having a healthy conscience. I'd want to talk more about conviction. I'd want to talk more about wanting to challenge yourself in certain areas. I mean, that's a very important conversation to have. But with a predominantly biblical worldview audience, I would think that our biggest issue is, okay, I have to have more conviction. I have to find more things that are wrong with me. And if I don't find these things that are wrong with me, and if I don't grow them, then God's not going to love me. He's not going to have the life that he wants for me. I'm not going to experience his fullness and abundance. So I got to figure this out. And it becomes really stressful. And actually, this leads to many people becoming atheists or agnostic because you just can't handle the God who is a taskmaster, who is always looking over you, always wanting you to improve.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? I mean, there's kids who are still in counseling today because our parents are like that. And I think one of the things for us to recognize is that whether you do or do not grow out of that insecurity, God is just fine with you. Mm-hmm. He's just fine. God
has so relieving.
He has an amazing capacity to accommodate your stuff. He accommodates your stuff.
Do you think that men and women handle insecurity differently? My observation about women is that when they see an insecurity, they want to control it. Mm-hmm. They don't want it exposed, so they kind of operate in control. Not all the time, but I think that's a leaning of women. What do you think men do?
I don't think there's any difference.
Okay.
I think there's certainly some differences between the sexes. We already hit on one physiological difference between the sexes, but I more and more I think the things that we used to say that men and women were different in, I'm not seeing. Like, I see guys who are as ruled by emotion as women are, and I see as women who are as stoic as some men are.
Yeah, interesting.
And then I also look at this area. my gosh, guys and their insecurities. Guys are so insecure, they never talk about their stuff with anybody else. It's like impossible. We can laugh and cut up all we want, but to actually lay your stuff on the table, it like never happens.
And is that a form of control? To not deal with it, choosing not to deal with it.
It's control. It's managing your image. It's managing your reputation. Yep. It's not wanting someone to think less of you that helps you feel like you have an edge. Yeah.
So talk for a minute about being willing to be vulnerable. Because when we come across an insecurity that rattles around in us, sometimes we have to be willing to like bring it out and put it on the table and actually deal with ourselves in that space instead of denying or whatever.
Well, one of the things I do is I recognize that if I care what people think about me, they will think more highly of me if I bring it out.
Isn't that backwards? That
is, but it's true. They will think more highly. I talked about porn earlier on. I know there's a massive amount of people who listen to this who just want like, So I'm not the only one who's been hurt by that. I'm not the only one who's felt this. I'm not the... I know that when I talked about comparisonitis, who's going to go, oh, you're kidding me. You're an idiot. You're kidding. You actually feel worse or better about yourself based on what somebody else owns? Oh, I don't know anybody like that. I've never had you are. Everyone goes wow, you're articulating something I've felt and I actually feel a bit more free now that you've told me that. So I think that's a big thing to understand. Like nobody gets dinged for being vulnerable.
Well, I know that you were a active and present dad, but a lot of our listeners did not have that. They had kind of sucky dads. Mm-hmm. And I would like you to father us for a minute. I want to throw some scenarios at you that I think some of our listeners probably deal with. And I just want you to father them. Father them toward confidence and security. Father them in any way that you want, because I think many of the women that I interact with desperately want to live a life of self-assurance and understanding who they are and not being driven by their insecurities, but the reality is just something different right now. So we're going to use your fatherly wisdom for a minute and throw you some scenarios. Does that sound good?
It sounds good, but also sounds ominous. So I'll do my best.
Okay, I'll just throw you. Well, I think this is a pretty common one. You've probably thought about this one before. What if you find yourself just sucked in by social media? You're feeding off likes. You only post pictures where you're beautiful at the right angle. You are just heavily controlling your image. Yeah. What would you say?
Well, I'd first say that you're what's called normal. Because,
welcome.
The
water's warm.
Yeah, that's what we want. We all want to control our image. We all want to compare ourselves and come out on top in that game. I think on stuff like that, it's just sometimes some things are just old fuddy-duddy things you have to do. Like you need to go on a social media fast. You can't control that. You need to go off it for a season of time, whatever it is, a week, a month, a day, whatever. I'd say that it's very normal to want to be seen in the eyes of others as a together person. You just got to be careful the tools that you're using. Go on a fast. Try that.
Great.
That's great. What if you are at work and you have to know everything? I mean, you need to know why the decision was made to move the thing to the other place. You want to know all the behind scenes things. You're controlling outcomes at work. You need information and you need to feel like you're a part of the decision before it's made.
Again, all these things you say, you're what's called normal. There'll be all these things. So no matter what you're saying, let's just recognize these things you're feeling, you're not an awful person. Or maybe you are an awful person, but it's not because of this thing, because this is very common. And we would all be all. On stuff like that, I always try to say, what's the thing behind the thing? So our normal sense would say, well, I just need to make sure that justice is going to come through in this decision. And maybe. I think the thing behind the thing on that we have to look at is what's driving that. It's probably trust in authority. So maybe the issue is not how you have to deal with stuff at work. Maybe there's a spiritual formation issue with trust and authority for you. How are you in trusting God? You probably, if that's you, I bet you don't take a Sabbath. I bet one day out of seven, you don't truly unplug and do no work. Why do we not take Sabbaths? I mean, really Sabbath? Because we can't trust the authority of God that he's got it okay. He can cover us one day, us not working. So I dig into what is the thing behind the thing on that, and it's probably trust and authority.
Okay, so this next one, you kind of know you're in a relationship with a boy and not a man. but you'd honestly really like to get married, and he's a pretty nice guy, and you'd really like to control how your life goes. You just want, you'd like to be married, you'd like to have kids, and he seems all right, but you're getting some signs. Maybe this isn't a real man, but you really want a future.
Yeah,
and that's real. So he beats nothing. Mm-hmm. What would you say?
Well, it is better to be single than to wish you were.
Say that one more time.
It is better to be single than to wish you were.
Latasha is smiling like that. Wow.
I mean, my gosh. I mean, I can give you all kind of phone numbers of people who shot too low in marriage, and they're hurting right now a lot. Your guy, maybe he is redeemable and savable. Anybody who's been married for any length of time knows that one of the three huge, massive things in marriage is communication. That is the thing, able to communicate. And so right now you have a test over whether or not this guy could be in your future. It's going to be how he's able to communicate through this. So if you can have a conversation with him that says, hey, I'd like to see our future. What do you think about our future? And he can actually talk about that. Okay, if he always wants to put that off, that's a communication issue. I'd be okay to give grace to some weak areas if he's able to engage in discussion about those areas. If he's not able to engage in discussion, then it tells me he doesn't have the emotional maturity to ever grow through those things, or at least not soon enough that he's not going to make your life hell for the next 5 years.
Wow. Ladies, listen to that. Okay, so you're obsessed with your kids, how they look, how they behave. For me right now, the grades, what college, scholarship, like all of those things. You might be what's called a smother. And frankly, you're pretty sure you're just better at being, you're better at being a kid than they are. And so you just control their life. What do you say?
Well, I do think we need to have high expectations for our kids. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good thing. So there's a level there. It's good because kids rise to the level of expectations. So having expectations our kids are going to amount to something, I think that's a really good thing. But it comes back to the introspection thing. Am I wanting my kids to rise to a certain level so that they have the best life possible? Or am I wanting my kids to rise to a certain level to validate that I'm doing good, that I'm a parent? That's introspection world. And to also understand that we all know kids who don't want to be around their parents because they just don't want to be around somebody who's going to remind them that they're not doing well enough. Yeah. Once you start that thing, that you're not doing well enough in soccer, you're not doing well in school, you need to have a better... Once you start that thing and your kids start to feel that that's the way you are to them, that's really hard to stop that. Mm-hmm. And your kids are not going to want to be around with you later on. There's four distinct phases we go through with our kids. There's the nurse phase where they can't do anything and we change their diapers and all that stuff. The second phase is king or queen. Mm-hmm. That's when your kids don't get to make choices. Right. You are the queen. You are the king of the house. I don't want... Tough. I said it. Why? Because I said so. You have to go through that phase. The third phase is the coach, where you give them more responsibility to decide things, and you're coaching them through key life decisions, but you're giving them more freedom. The fourth phase, where you want to get to, is the friend phase, where your kids are just your friends, and that's where I am. And your kids will not want to be around you. You want your kids to be around you. You want your kids to do vacations with you. You want your kids to come over for dinner.
Totally.
You want. They won't do that if they feel like they always have to measure up to you. Yep. Play for the long game.
Okay, last one, final word. We're going to return to what you described as your own insecurity, this constant comparisonitis. I think a lot of women do the same thing. Just like you said, this is a human thing. This is not a man-woman thing. What is the first step toward a life of security or a life of greater security or a life where you're not run by your own insecurities? First step.
First step is to believe that you're enough. And you're enough because God says you're enough. That's the first step. God says that you're enough. He knows your value, and your value is the life of His Son. His Son went and died on a cross. That's your value. What's the value of my house? What's the value of my house? Whatever someone would pay for it, that's the value of my house. Doesn't matter what MLS says, whatever someone will pay for it. The value of you is what God paid for you, and that is Jesus. That's the value. So if we feel that kind of value, that God actually believes that, oh, and by the way, what do you owe God? What do you owe God? Nothing.
Nothing.
You owe God nothing. When Jesus died on a cross, he died for the debt of our sins. If I have some anonymous millionaire who comes by and pays off my mortgage, what do I owe the bank? Nothing. I owe them nothing. You have to believe and know, and history says this, that your value before God is Jesus, because he paid Jesus for you. And what do you owe God? You owe God nothing. So in coming over our insecurities, we're not coming over our insecurities to earn God's favor, to earn God's love. We're coming over our insecurities because if we can get over those, we will feel God more. We'll just feel him because we'll be stepping into a different life. The discussion of I want to be more like God, I want to feel God more, is an entirely different discussion than I have to appease God and I've got to get out of this because God's mad with me right now. No, he's not. It's called the gospel. It's called the good news.
We can't go anywhere more than that, right?
I think we should end. Yeah.
Drop the mic. I know you have a book coming out. It's not a new book. It's a revised book. But tell us a little bit about it and what's going on with it right now.
Men are struggling, and so are women. But men are, and I have, a unique passion for that. So the book is called Five Marks from Man. There are 15-year-old men, and there are 45-year-old boys. And what separates a man from a boy isn't the age of 18. It isn't pickup trucks. It isn't college degrees. It is five things that define whether or not you're a man or a boy. And every male that we look up to, every male we want to be around to, whether we realize it or not, they all have these five things. And so the book spells those things out.
Great.
I wrote a really small primer book on this before. It was self-published. And a lot of people enjoy that. This book is picked up by a publisher. It's much more polished. 80% of the content is new. It's a deeper dive.
Oh, great.
So I'm pretty stoked about it.
Do you think we could give a couple away to some of our listeners?
Yes.
To like gift to their guys in
I
their
could.
Life?
Yes. The only thing I would say is if you're going to gift it to your guy, just make sure you let him know why you're gifting it to him.
Right.
Don't let him fill in the blanks. Oh, good. So you really think I'm a boy, you know?
Right.
Say, I just like this guy. I heard a podcast. I liked him. I don't know anything about the book. Maybe you would like it too. Mm-hmm. Make sure he's not reading it as an assignment.
Got it.
Or right. Needing to live up to your expectations. Because he'll sniff that from a mile away and it won't do anything for him.
Okay, great, good tip.
Yeah, because us men are insecure.
Yes,
right.
We're insecure, and if we feel like we're not living up, we're not going to be driven by that. Yeah. We're going to shun it.
Okay, so we'll give a few away. We'll do that on our through Instagram at IKR Podcast. So you can find us on Instagram
and
there.
And don't you think women should read it too? I mean, I read the first one personally.
We've heard from a lot of women on the first one. It helped them have clarity with their
Absolutely.
Dating relationship.
Yes.
It helped them have clarity with what their boys need. Yeah. It helped them even have clarity understanding some of the challenges that their husband may be having. So
Great. It's
not only for men, but it's certainly written in the masculine voice.
Just say, I know, right, one more time.
I know, right?
That was
IKR.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Well, the listener challenge this week is actually simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We are going to name our insecurity. Latasha and I are going to name ours, and we're going to do it on our Instagram account, and we want you to do the same. So check us out at IKR Podcast on Instagram, where we will all be naming our insecurities. We expect to see you there, or you can drop us an email always. IKR@crossroads.net. We love to hear from our listeners. So, guys, this week, no joke, name your insecurity so it can stop running your life. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.